Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, hello, and what a wonderful day. Boy, the weather is absolutely gorgeous here today, and my partner in crime, Daniel, is actually not joining us today. Daniel is off in New York at an event, having absolutely a marvelous time. I spoke to him this morning. He's having an event-filled week. He's in New York today, and then he's in Vancouver, I think late tomorrow, so he's keeping awfully busy. But in Daniel's place, I am very, very blessed to have joined me again the most wonderful Gene Nichols. And before I have Gene say hello, for those of you who haven't had the opportunity to listen to the show, and I had Gene join me last time, Gene's experience is extensive. She worked in a Fortune 50 environment as a finance wizard. She's got a long track record as an amazing change expert, actually. She's an entrepreneur. She's a business owner. She has a master's in creative problem solving, which that in itself is an entirely different show once you engage with Gene. And is an international duathlete. She's just absolutely an amazing human being. And her partner, Zach, I'll tell you, some of the coolest people you could ever dream to meet. So welcome, Gene. Thanks for joining this week.
Awesome. Thank you, Johnny. And that's a big entry to live up to, but I appreciate all your kind words.
Well, I don't lie, so we know it's accurate. But today's topic, and again, one of the other reasons I'm so blessed to have Gene this week, is are we putting too much pressure on women to succeed? And several times throughout the show today, I'm going to share the guest call-in number. And if you have a perspective, if you want to provide some insight, feedback, or just jump on the call with Gene and I for a little bit, we would ask you to please, by all means, join in. But that number is 347-677-1965, 347-677-1965. Are we putting too much pressure on women to succeed today? So, Gene, I know you and I had a little bit of a discussion on this earlier in this week. Where do we even begin this dialogue?
You know, it's actually a really big dialogue. And interesting enough, I was flying to Chicago 2 days ago, and the lady sitting next to me was a mom getting her second master's and explaining about all of her work-life balance and the modeling that she was trying to set, the role modeling she was trying to do for her youngest daughter. And it just seemed like the universe was sending a message that this is a really hot topic.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. I was having a conversation with Doreen, my wonderful and amazing bride, and I think this goes on and on. It's what's ironic because I almost actually extended this show to an hour today just because there's just so much to engage in this dialogue. And a couple things come to mind when I think about this is how we underappreciate, we as a society, right? I'm not saying all of us, but how we as a society truly underappreciate the value of what a woman actually really does and how they contribute to our life. So I've said this before in other shows. So I am very blessed to have three wonderful children, five, three from my first marriage, two from my second. But when I was originally married to my first wife, I was one of those husbands that would go, you know, work a million hours, get up early, take off, get home, and I'd be tired. Now, my kids were always the center of my life. You know, they got kisses when I left, kisses when I got home, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't want to in any way make it sound like, you know, the children would see dad. But when I would get home at night, I was very, very fortunate and blessed to be able to park it on the couch, pull up the paper, magazine, turn on whatever I want to watch TV, and kind of relax and unwind. I think that in many cases is where we stop. Where we really stop for a moment appreciating how challenging life can be. Because on the other hand, my wife would come home after a long day's of work, she'd put her stuff away. She'd sit down, and I see Doreen do this all the time. After a long day, and then she sits down at the computer to do her stuff, stops, makes dinner, you know, does the homework, does all of those things without ever being asked, regardless of how much I did or didn't contribute. And then at the end of the night, she'd go sit down, do some more work, and then the next day do it all over again. And on the weekends, you know, she was cooking for the family, taking care of the kids. And I think in a lot of cases, you know, we just really don't appreciate just how amazing women are. I'm not saying guys don't do this, right? So let's not get into that. But I'm just saying it absolutely fascinates me. However, in that same vein, what I'm wondering about is today, and I don't want to get the conversation, the dialogue about diversity confused with the message or the conversation of today. But I think about the perception when you talk about a stay-at-home dad, as an example. When you talk about, you know, he needs to be the breadwinner, you know, goes back to the caveman days. He needs to be the one to go out and work all day while she can, while the mother or the spouse can either stay home or you know, you'd be a homemaker, raise the children, so forth and so on. Are we starting to shift and apply that same type of pressure to women in today's environment, that they need to do more than just be quote unquote moms or homemakers or things like that? And are we underappreciating the value of how hard or how difficult, and that in itself is a very challenging career, and one of the most rewarding and underappreciated careers out there, Jean?
You know, I look at this through a couple of different lenses, and Jenny, you provide some really great insights there. One of my hobbies or my pastimes a few years ago was to facilitate networking events for women. And I did it for about 8 years and had over 600 or 700 women come through my events. And what was interesting about that is I had a number of stay-at-home moms come through my events. And some of them were the people that were getting, the ladies who were getting ready to transition back into the workforce, and they weren't sure of what skills they had. And it was a very fascinating conversation, because if you think about all of the tasks that a mother does on a daily basis, and one of my best friends is a stay-at-home mom with 4 kids, and I don't know how she does it some days, but when you think about all of the tasks that they have to do, there's project management skills that are available there. There are leadership skills. There are decision-making. There's risk management that happens with your children. You know, there are a lot of, oftentimes it's even budgets and finances. So I think that, you know, depending on what it was that they did for a career before stepping out of the workforce and what their passions are when they decide to choose to re-enter, they have a lot more skill sets than I think they give themselves credit for. And I think as a community of organizations and a community of businesses, it's important that we look at that and we recognize that.
I've also read
different statistics that show that there are a higher percentage of female entrepreneurs, and oftentimes it's those stay-at-home moms that have come up with an invention or a service or an idea that they have been able to capitalize on. So I think, you know, there's the stay-at-home mom, there is the mother in general, and then there are the single women or married women who don't have children that are still managing a lot to be very effective leaders in our communities.
That's amazing, and I think that's spot on, and it's unless you have been in that space, I don't think you could ever or stop long enough. And I think about my mother. You know, I think about my grandmother, you know, from Mexico, and watching her all of the time and how busy and active they always were. And you know, going to my grandparents during Thanksgiving, it truly was, when you talk about a set of skills, you want to talk about the ability to multitask and literally manage relationships and juggle all of these relationships. I mean, I think back as an adult now, I didn't see it when I was a child. It was amazing. And, you know, we kid around, okay, well, women are much better at multitasking than men. Okay, so once I get past the, all right, you know, your ego, Johnny, I think I'm a pretty good multitasker. It's not until you actually sit back long enough, swallow your pride, and actually watch, I think of my grandparents, Doreen, all of the things that they're able to do at once. And then you talk about, well, how does that translate into other parts of their life? And I think you did a great job just articulating that. But Gene, here's the question I have for you. So what is it? So all this time you spent, you talk about facilitating the 700 to 800 women going through your various seminars, workshops, et cetera. Is there something that you believe makes women feel like they have to work so hard, or is it all just innate and natural?
You know, that's a tough question, because I think it really depends on the individual, and I'm cautious to create generalizations in that space, because I think we each have a different perspective on what we need to do and what we should to do, and then what we want to do. And I think that there's a big distinction between those three statements right there. I think with a number of the ladies that I know, you know, and I'll go back to the lady that was sitting on the airplane next to me. Lovely lady, extremely smart, has two master's degrees, and is very passionate about education, very passionate about being strong in her job, and is concerned, you know, for her children and which schools to send them to, and how does she model for her daughter? You know, is mommy gone all the time and she's on a plane and she's traveling, or is she modeling for her daughter what it takes to be a strong woman that is able to manage her career, manage her family, be a loving mother, being a loving spouse, but also fulfilling what her own personal desires are to achieve and accomplish and feel valued in the workplace. So I think there's a lot of dynamics that we're balancing out, you know, and I think the book Lean In tried to address some of those issues for women. And I think even when you talk to women who aren't mothers yet or may not ever have children, I think you might find that same thread of how do we take care of our family? How do we take care of ourselves? How do we take care of our friends? And you might find consistency there, regardless if they have children or they don't have children.
You know, it's interesting, and I'm going to segue just for a moment because I don't want to jump to another question for you, Jean. It's interesting that I watch young women, and I'm very blessed because I have of my five, three of them are girls. And my two oldest, 26, 25. So I get to see a lot of their friends and engage in being in the business for so long. I have the opportunity to see young ladies become mothers for the first time. And it's what's always fascinating to me is almost overnight, you watch a new skill set come from within them, where they say, gosh, I don't know how I could ever take care of a child. Don't get me wrong. I want to have children. I'm excited about it, but I'm nervous. Will I be a good mom? Will I be able to juggle all the things? Will I be able to do all of this? And lo and behold, and you know, I'm a spiritual man. My hypothesis is I believe that until you're placed into a situation that the good Lord doesn't bless you with the skills, behaviors, capabilities to actually be able to succeed in those areas. Because in every case, I see these young ladies become, it just blossom into these amazing mothers almost naturally, where it was a week before, you know, you saw them in a different light. You saw them as these young kids or these young adults, and not necessarily as a mother. So I think that a lot of that goes back to when you talk about all the various hats they wear and just how much of it comes so naturally. So all that, so kind of dovetailing off of your last question, though. So do you think, I think about the woman you traveled with last night on the airplane. Is society's definition of, let's just say, money and quote-unquote success, is that sending bad signals to women in our society today?
You know, it's interesting because I'm reading this book called Thrive by Arianna Huffington, and it talks about our definition of success. And oftentimes it's by title, it's by status, it's by financials. And through my reading of her book, which I'm fascinated by and I highly recommend to many people, she talks about the title of the book is Thrive, the third metric to redefining success and creating a life of well-being, wisdom, and wonder. And, you know, when you think about moving forward, so from today forward, I guess the consideration for me is how might we redefine what success is? And if we do that and we start to create a culture shift or a transformation around how we're defining what success truly is, then will we be able to have more balance in our roles as mothers, wives, husbands, fathers? Will we be able to shift kind of what that future aspiration looks like as we nurture our children as they grow, our nephews or nieces? So I think that, you know, today our view on status or our view on success is hierarchical, it's financial, it's status, some of those other things, but I don't know if we're really measuring the right thing.
Yeah, I would agree. And I don't want to say that was a loaded question, but I think in some cases it is. When I think about success, you know, and I'm going to use my daughter, my youngest daughter. I spoke to her yesterday and she was talking about, she just recently graduated from college. She works at an emergency vet in Minneapolis. And it may not be paying, you know, $150,000 a year, but it's what she loves. It's her passion. She's amazing at it, and it inspires and gives her energy. Granted, again, she may have a college loan to pay off, et cetera, but some of the feedback that she's received thus far from other people, some being adults, is that, well, you know what, don't settle. You can make more money if you do this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it just warmed my heart. I was having a conversation with her, I think it was yesterday on the phone, and she says, Dad, she says, I really enjoy this. This, you know, just remind me that it's okay to be doing this. And I think that's where it begins, right? She just graduated from college, and I said, are you kidding me? I could not be more proud of you. And I'd like to say she got all that from her dad, but that'd probably be a pretty arrogant statement. But I think about just the fact that she would even mention something like that. And a lot of it comes from, you know, I don't want to say the older generations. I'm not talking 60, 70, 80 years old, but I'm talking about, let's just say, non-millennials. And just how we define success, I think we need to be really cautious about that. One of the things when you talk about the book from Arianna Huffington Post in the book Thrive, and I'll actually, you know what, I'll post that to my Twitter, my Facebook, and I'll get it out there, my LinkedIn as well, for anyone that wants to get the link directly to it. But one of the things I noticed when I was watching, you mentioned this book the other day, so I pulled it up. One thing that was really interesting that she commented on was she started doing a self-audit. And and in that process, she started identifying things that she aspired to do, not necessarily expectations, but goals, right? And I think in her case, she said she wanted to become a great skier, wanted to learn to speak German, wanted to be an amazing cook / chef. And one day she finally said to herself, I'm not going to do that stuff. So why do I keep holding it over my head? And she said, I'm not going to do that anymore. She kind of released it. And I want to stop shy of saying, you know, out of body experience, but it was such a relief to her. And I think that's very difficult. I mean, I know myself, I've got my, you know, I don't want to confuse that with your bucket list. I mean, there's certain things you want to do before you die, but are we sometimes placing expectations so high on ourselves that we spend our whole lives trying to live up to them? And it's just a self, you know, defeating prophecy. I mean, is that what happens a lot in, you know, from the perspective of a woman, Jean?
Well, I think it, you know, I'm going to generalize this a little bit. I think, well, my perspective, two things. One, in general, as a society, we place a high value on everybody being perfect, whether you're male or female. And so that list of I should, it's equally as long for men as it is for women. And it's important that we recognize that. There are times, though, that list of I should gets carried or held over the head of a woman more often or a female more often. And sometimes it's hard to determine if it's somebody else holding it over their head or if it's us as females holding it over our own heads. Because, you know, there is a lot of times or often times Gail Evans wrote a book called She Wins, You Win. It talks about how oftentimes women are competing with other women for positions in an organization without really recognizing that there might be someone else who has the strength to do the job and the passion to do the job better than yourself. But because we're in this space of we have to get to the top, we aren't even able to recognize in ourselves when a role really isn't a good fit for us anymore and we opt out. And so it's important that, you know, if we stay true to the conversation around women, it's really important that we recognize what are our shoulds and what are our passions. and giving ourselves permission to really forge ahead with our passion, because that's when we're going to be the most successful. So in the case of your daughter, if you talk about, you know, her career path and something that she's passionate about, she's going to do a really good job in that role. Now, will she make $1 million by the time she's 30? Probably not. But I'm going to make an assumption that maybe she doesn't value $1 million as much as she values the work that she's able to do.
That's exactly right. You said it right there. And I think that's what I think that's what made me smile. Is, you know what? She says, Dad, it's not important that I have all the money in the world. She says, I want to do something that I really, really enjoy. Now, this is what I would say, is that when you're doing something that you truly love and where your passions are, just in itself, things will happen. So you typically become, because it's your passion and you love doing it, you spend so much time doing it, you tend to kind of rise to the top. And that's where the opportunities present themselves. So I've always said, be very, very careful when you get into something that you truly love and it's just making it enough just to pay the bills. Because as long as you're enjoying it, who knows what your higher power has in store for you. And if you're good at it, you're inspiring others because you're good at it. Opportunities within your passion are going to continue to show up. And so when you comment about what you should do versus what you could do versus what you feel obligated to do, and I know that to be true, that it's that aspect of it's general neutral. And mm-hmm. in some cases, you know, the messages we're sending to these big companies today, we talk about diversity, you know, and companies are confused because some of them feel like, well, it's a quota to put to bring women in or you know, various ethnic groups and, you know, sexual preferences, et cetera, et cetera. And then some say, well, we're really working hard at it, but then we just bring women into the organization. They end up leaving as soon as they get in. Well, it's because the organization isn't changing. You bring them to the mm-hmm. existing organization. You don't create an environment where any group other than who already exists there can flourish and feel welcome, loved, and that their thoughts and their opinions are appreciated. So I guess, you know, the question that still sits out there for me is, are we putting pressure out there to make the ladies feel like they're obligated to, you know, to be or to do more?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think a lot of that's self-induced?
I think it's a combination. My perspective is that it's a combination of the two. I think that sometimes it takes us as an individual to really kind of identify where our breakpoints are and to determine what's going to be really important. You know, part of the book that Arianna Huffington had wrote actually talked to about a physical incident that she had happened to her. And that was kind of her wake-up call that said, wait a second, what am I prioritizing? And how do I reprioritize things? And how do I get my should list in order and determine what really needs to stay and what really needs to fall off? And so I think it's going to take each individual to really look through that and do some soul searching on that. But I think it takes a community to help support that. And so it can't be just an individual thing. It really needs to be a community effort. It needs to be men and women working together to really define what that new culture should look like and what we want it to be and how we're going to equally engage and support one another through that. Interestingly, oh, go ahead, Johnny.
Well, I was just going to say, I apologize, but I said, but it needs to begin from the heart.
Correct.
Right? It can't begin from the head and doing it because we feel we have to do it or obligated. It has to begin from the heart, and the heart-driven motivations aren't necessarily natural for all of us, but for those of us on the planet that it is, by gosh, it's our responsibility to raise that up. So I apologize mm-hmm. for the interruption. Continue, Jean.
No, and just to build on that, Johnny, it takes courage and it takes a lot of vulnerability. Brené Brown does a lot of research around shame and vulnerability. And if you're deciding to start down this path, she is definitely the author, the speaker that you should look into. She has a number of TED Talks because vulnerability is the biggest space that we need to step into in order to be able to make those steps. It was interesting because I just recently read an article on NPR about Jennifer Lawrence, the actress, and she had written an essay on Hollywood's gender pay gap. And it was interesting because there was a lot of negative feedback, and she wasn't mad at the fact that there was a gap, that men may have gotten paid more than females. She was disappointed in herself because she gave up, and her quote is, "I failed as a negotiator because I gave up early." So she got, it was more of a reflective moment, like, I need to really understand what's available to me and take strides and steps for it. And she got a lot of criticism for it. However, when you think about it, some articles were calling her a brat and a spoiled brat, or she was being difficult. But if a male said the same thing, would they ever call a man a brat or spoiled?
Right.
And so when you think about some of those things, you know, there is a stigma to when a female chooses to step in, whether a mother chooses to step in, whether an individual chooses to step in, there's a stigma around that. And, you know, we try to, as a female, soften the way that we might articulate our needs so that we don't become too aggressive, so that nobody calls us that nasty B word or some other thing, or difficult or a brat or spoiled. But when really, we're just stepping in to try to be equal. We're just trying to feel out what it's like to negotiate at an equal level. We're really working our muscles to train ourselves to be advocates for ourselves and to have courage and to be vulnerable. So there's my last insider tip for today.
I think that's amazing. And, you know, as you read some of those responses, and your natural tendencies, if you know anything about Hollywood and how that whole thing goes, is your first, if you're familiar with it, you're like, well, where was her agent at and all that? Okay, so let's get past the whole agent thing. That's not the message here. The message was, first of all, the things that happened behind the scenes, the fact that she would be paid significantly less than, you know, the men, in itself is an industry issue. It's not of it, and that's the sad part of about it. For her to even feel like she should have had to stand up for herself to be treated fairly, I think, is the part that's just heartbreaking to me. And it's amazing to me how fast 30 minutes goes in these shows. We're literally down to a couple minutes left. But this is what I would share, is I have been so blessed in my lifetime, whether it's my amazing mother, whether it's my my current spouse, Doreen, married my first time to Marcia. I think about, you know, my grandmothers, and I think about in the work environment. And I've been so blessed to be successful because of the women, guys included, but because of the women I have been fortunate to surround myself with. And because of those women, in many cases, I am where I am today. So for all of you, thank you. God bless you. And what a great conversation today. Jean, in closing, do you have anything you'd like to share with the guests?
No, I love being on the show with you. I love engaging in brilliant conversation with you. And I think just as women, as we choose to step into our space, finding our ability to be courageous, redefining for ourselves what that status looks like and what success looks like, and being vulnerable in our process to get there, I think those are three big things for us to consider as you move forward.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree completely. And thank you for joining. I can already forewarn you, and I can share with the guests that Jean will be back with us again. In the meantime, Jean, thank you so much. What a blessing to have you on board here. And next week, I believe Daniel will be back. In the meantime, everyone, thanks for hanging out with us. Check out our Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn pages for more information, and have a wonderful week. God bless.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.